Praise the Lord. If you couldn't understand my Chinese. First, I want to say it is a privilege to be here. I had an opportunity at one of our meetings to meet your pastors here in the church, and they are truly a joy. And now with this invitation to be able to come and meet the rest of you, I understand that a lot of you are from China and from Taiwan, and I've been in both places many times. In fact, 1 week from tomorrow, I will be leaving the States and returning to Taiwan, but I will not, and then I'll have a few other people that will join me, and one of them will be my husband that the pastor just introduced to, Robert, and another one, Rupert. And so what we're going to be doing is we're actually going to be doing three conferences. And so I'm going to ask for you to please cover us in prayer, because like whenever you're going into enemy territory, and I'm not saying that Taiwan or China are enemies, okay? But I am saying that we, no matter where we're at, we fight a battle. And one of those battles, of course, it has dealing with Satan. And he brings in all kinds of cults. And what he's done into Taiwan now is he has brought in the cult called Mormonism, big time. And I know that they have sent over 2,000 Mormons this last summer into Taiwan. I was there about a month ago, and or 3.5 weeks ago. And you could just feel the difference from when I was there before, which was several months before. And we had prayed around the island. We had actually driven around the island seven times around Taiwan. And we could feel how the cloud of heaviness of the strongholds had lifted up. But now, because of the cult of Mormonism's come in, it is now a different cloud. But it's no longer just strongholds at different places like it was. Now it is a very heavy, thick cloud that is hovering over Taiwan. And frankly, the Mormons don't want us there. And so they are fighting us. All right, so we do need your prayer. The other one that we're going to be talking on is going to be happy marriages and families. And the third one, which Rupert will be teaching, will be interhealing. And God has given him a beautiful gift to be able to function in the inner healing of people. And so we would all covet your prayers for that, because I know what we're going to be walking into. But I do know one thing. The God that we serve is a victorious God. He's a God that is awesome. You know, just like as we were singing, you know, I thank you for the wondrous cross. Because that's what it's all about, is that wondrous cross. Because we cannot do anything without that cross. You know, that cross brings a relationship that we can only have through Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to stop right here, and I want to open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have done already in this service. I thank you, Father, that it's going to be a continued work, Lord, as you just flood your anointing of your Holy Spirit right here upon this service. But Father, just not only here in this service, but upon each person's heart, that you will put your stamp of your anointing upon each person, that when they go walk out these doors, they will walk out and totally different people, because Father, your anointing is upon them, that there's change. And that's what you do, Lord. You come and you bring change to our life. And so Father, I pray that there'll be change. We don't want to leave these doors the same, but we want to leave these doors with the chains that you have placed upon our heart, that we will be stronger in you, that our ears will be open to hearing your voice clearer than they have ever been before, that our heart will be softened to be able to hear your voice in a stronger, deeper way, that we will not walk from one direction to the other, to the left, to the right, the forwards, or the backwards, but Father, we will go according to the direction that you lead us, because our voice, your voice, is so tuned in to our ears and into our heart, into our spirit, and to our soul, that we will want and desire to do only what you ask us to do. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Put the... Oh, it's up there. All right. Okay. No laughs. Okay. Okay. The little cartoon that you can see up there, it's, of course, a little cartoon with Moses. And Moses is fishing. Now, of course, I mean, this is only fantasy. It's only a cartoon, right, you know, because this didn't really happen. But what did happen is that Moses parted the Red Sea. But he didn't really part the Red Sea. What happened is he prayed, and God parted the Red Sea, right? And so this is a little cartoon, but it's just kind of a good demonstration of what I'm going to be talking on. Because God has created each one of you here to be leaders of some sort. Some of you are to be leaders over your family. If you're mothers and you've got children, you've got husbands, you're a leader over something. Whether you're in the workforce, you're a leader over somebody. You're going to school, a student, you're a leader of some sort. Each one of us, even from the smallest child, is a leader of some sort because we're always leading somebody. How do we lead them? We lead them by our character and who we are within our character. And we can see, like, in Moses' character, you know, as we look back on the story of Moses, the training that he had to go through to finally get to the parting of the Red Sea. And then when he finally parted that Red Sea, he continued to lead because now he was raised, he'd been trained, and he'd been raised to go and lead people in all areas, from the desert to the princely kingdom, or king that he was trained at first in directing the people, the multitudes that he actually had to lead. And so wherever your destiny is, God has also and is leading and training you to reach your destiny just like he did with Moses. Now we find, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We find here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, it says, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some of the men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. Now, I'm going to stop right there, okay? I want to just emphasize right here. When Jesus stepped into a boat and he crossed, when we choose to follow after Jesus, what happens is, like here, they cross over. When we step in that boat, we're going to have to decide, do we want to follow Jesus? You see, when we make up our mind to follow Jesus, anything can happen. It doesn't matter. Anything can happen. I mean, we don't know what's out there. The disciples didn't know what was out there. You know, we don't know what's out there. What we do know is that they had a desire to follow Jesus. Okay, now turn with me back to, chapter 8, verse 23 in Matthew. In my Bible, it's just one page backwards. Okay? And 23, it says, Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Now what's happening here is that he's calling for his disciples, and the disciples are hopping in, or they're following, want to follow Jesus. Now they had to make a conscious decision here on if they were going to follow Jesus no matter what happened. And they decided to hop in this boat and follow him. But what happened afterwards? It says, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us! We're going to drown. Now, within our life, no matter what happens, we are going to run into storms. We're running into obstacles. You know, like some of the songs that we were singing about earlier. You know, no matter what, we're going to run into some obstacles. There's going to be people that might come against us. We might have financial trouble. There might be troubles within your business, if you're running a business. There might be problems within your work. There's going to be some kind of storms that's going to come your way. But each time we run into a storm, or we have to fight through that storm, then what happens is our spirit starts to rise up, because we're putting more faith, more trust in the Lord. And this is where we can go to the cross and we can just simply take our burdens, what we're going through, we can take it and lay it down before him and say, here, you take it. Because that's why He died for us. So all we have to say is, here, take it. The biggest problem we have is we try to give it to Jesus, but then we take it back again. See, what we have to do is learn to lay it down and keep it there. Don't pick it up again. Okay? And His disciples, they were afraid. They saw Jesus do lots of miracles, but they were afraid. And so they go to Him and they go, Lord, save us, save us. How many times we get into a jam and we cry out, save us, save us, save us. I know there's what we call the Holy Ghost spirit, mad tongue speaking, where all of a sudden you get into this trouble and you're going, please, 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 Lord, get me out of this, And it's like begging, that please save us, get us out of this. But are we really believing that He's going to get us out of that situation? Verse 26, it says, He replied, oh, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then He got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. Wow! The Lord says that when our eyes are stayed upon Him, He gives us that perfect peace. Here He goes and He rebukes the wind, and the wind listens to Him. I know one time I was in Utah, and I was trying to share Christ with the Mormon people in Utah. And the Lord had told me to make a great big banner. It was huge. It was, about 3/4 the size of this wall here. And it stood probably about as high as that, where the sheep is on Jesus. And it was just a picture of Jesus that I had painted. And all of a sudden, we hung it up. And there was a wind that came. Oh, the wind picked up this great big banner, and it was like a tent, straight overhead. It didn't flap. It was like this wind was just lifting it up. And so I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, You're the one that told me to make that banner. If You want to rip it to pieces, it's this is Your doing. You can do whatever You want to do with this banner. But You told me to make it, and how can people see it when it's way up here? So, you want people to see it, you need to calm the wind down. Instantly, the wind stopped, and the banner hugged straight. It was so calm, it was like being in this room. No breeze at all. And people were able to see it. God never changes. The same miracles that He does that He did yesterday, He still does today. And He'll continue to do those miracles. Okay? But what happens when He does these miracles is like, wow, do we really believe it happened? God, You did this for me? And this is what happened with the disciples here. On verse 27, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey Him. That's the kind of God we serve. Even the wind, because He created the wind. Now turn with me back to chapter 9. I'm going to go back to verse 2 where it says, some men brought to Him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. See, the first thing that had to happen here is He had to acknowledge that He can do nothing. Each one of us, we have to acknowledge sometime in our life, and actually throughout our life, there are many things that we cannot do. Okay. The first thing we have to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves. This is what I've been dealing with many, many different cult issues. We've had a major cult that has risen up here at the University of Washington. And it's called Providence, also JMS. And it's a very bad cult that they call it ICA, which stands for International Christian Association. But it is not Christian. But what they're doing is taking the Bible and twisting it like so many cults. And at the very end of their 30 lessons, He pronounces that He is the second Messiah. He's the Christ that has come to save the world. Right? And we see so many people that are hungry, they're looking and they're searching for something, because inside there's emptiness there. But there's only one person that could fill up that emptiness. And that emptiness is Jesus Christ. But first we have to acknowledge that we can do nothing. Because in many calls, it never changes. It's always the same. It's a form of work, work, work. If you are good enough, if I do this, if I do that. You know, all these works, works, works. And finally it comes, well, you can't do it. We cannot save ourselves. And because Jesus knew we couldn't save ourselves, that was why he sent Jesus. We see back in Genesis, what happened? Is it when Adam and Eve first sinned, Jesus was going to make a way. So we would be able to have a way to have that fellowship with him. He restored the fellowship that was taken away from us. Because that's why he created us, was to have that special fellowship. So first here, the paralytic had to acknowledge that he could do nothing. And he can't. You know, if anybody's ever been paralyzed before, it's really bad. A long time ago, I had broken this little finger here. And a broken bone is no big deal. Right? I've had a lot of broken bones before. But this turned out to be something very, very, very major. And what happened is I injured my ulnar nerve. We've got three nerves, for all you anatomy people, was in our body right here. And the ulnar nerve was one of the nerves. But see, I had been praying, and I've been asking the Lord, Lord, show me a little glimpse of what you went through for me. Now watch out when you pray, because God hears and he will answer our prayers. Right? And he answered my prayer. It was not a very good answer. But it was an answer that taught me a lot. The first thing of what had happened when I had injured this ulnar nerve, when we're talking about paralytics, is they did what they call a beer block. And what they did is they lifted my hand up and they put a string around here, oh, kind of like a rope, cut off all the blood. And then they pumped something in, and my whole arm became completely paralyzed. I don't care how much I kept trying to think. I can lift up my arm. I can do it. I can do it. I tried. I couldn't move it. I could not move it. This paralytic, he couldn't move either. No matter how much he would try to mentally think. And this is what a lot of cults do. They think you mentally think it will happen. But it doesn't happen. And within this paralytic and with anybody that's paralyzed, I don't care how hard they try to think that they can move, they cannot move. I finally had to ask my husband, I says, honey, will you come and pick up my arm and put it on top of me? Because I don't care how much I kept trying. I mean, I worked with every ounce of muscle, every ounce of energy I possibly could. And it would not move. This is what happens, paralytic. He couldn't move, but it wasn't just his arm, it was everything. He was on a bed. But you see, he had people with him. People that believed that if they could only get this man to Jesus, Jesus has the answer. And he has that same answer for us today. All we have to do is acknowledge that we can't handle these situations in our life. I don't care if it is a situation within your school. I don't care if it's a situation within your families. I don't care if it's a situation with your financial situation. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever we're going through, whatever, I want to use the word mountain that we're going through, or whatever wave we're going to go through, whatever storm we're going to go through, it doesn't really matter. All we have to do is give it to Jesus. Acknowledge that we cannot handle it, but we give it to him. And when we give it to him, he takes it away from us. All right, now we see what happened. The first thing he says, son, your sins are forgiven. So when he came to Jesus, the thing that caused him, it was a sin. And now it's forgiven. That's why he came. He's able to take away sin. Just like within our problems, he's able to take them away. You know, like, yes, we do live in a microwave world. We want to have things instantaneously. We want to have things fast. But guess what? Going to Jesus, giving them to Jesus, it's fast. It is like an instant microwave, because all you have to do is say, here. And then you watch and see what he's going to do. Is he going to calm those waves down instantaneously like he did here in chapter 8? Or is he teaching you something from that. Just like when I prayed and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, show me a little glimpse of what you went through. Well, when I had injured my finger, it wasn't only I experienced what it was like being paralyzed, but I also experienced a little glimpse of what Jesus went through for me when he was on that cross. We can't even imagine what he went through. You know, we can study, we can sort of figure out a few things that he went through, but he went through every single thing, every pain, every emotion that every one of us in the past, present, and the future, we're talking about billions and trillions of people. All their emotions, everything that they have ever gone through, he took upon himself. Why? Because of his love. His love. His love for you, his love for me, his love for mankind, to restore that intimate fellowship that he originally created us for. So he was able to take this man and he said, your sins are forgiven. It says in verse 3, at this some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Yes, when we stand up for righteousness, when we stand up for truth, we will not be able to please everybody. Many times we want to be man pleasers. You know, we want people to like us. I know I like people to like me, but I can't please everybody. Like going over to Taiwan to go and teach against the cultism that is over there to bring forth restoration. Those people that are in cults, they don't like me. Because they don't want people to learn about how they are leading people into death. Same with us, no matter where you're at. You're going to run into people that will be against you. But we have to stand up for righteousness. We have to know who our God is. And when we know who our God is, then we will stand up and we will be bold. Okay? And this is what happens. Jesus, in verse 4, it says, knowing their thoughts, because he knows everything, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? See, your sins are forgiven. This is very hard for a lot of people. And it is to receive forgiveness. We've been in places where I've heard people keep bringing back their sins. And it's like this broken record. And no matter how hard they try, that broken record keeps playing. That scratch on your CD or whatever keeps skipping over, and it just keeps playing over and over and over in your mind. And that's what Satan does in our minds. He puts these little thoughts in our head. And it's these broken records that keep playing over and over, reminding us of our past sins. But you see, we have to receive forgiveness. We have to know, yes, Jesus forgave your sins, so you need to receive that forgiveness. Then he gives instructions. It says, get up and walk. See, now it's to receive healing. See, going back on when I had injured my hand actually felt like it was this part here was sliding on the cement outside on the road. My knuckle parts, right here, it felt like they were constantly breaking. This part of my knuckles in my hand, the upper part, it felt like someone was taking a hammer and was hammering my hand. My whole hand here felt like it was stuck in fire. These things were not happening, but that's how it felt, you see. This is a glimpse of what Jesus felt when they had put the nails through his hands. Except it wasn't just one nerve that they hit. They hit all three nerves as excruciating pain shot up into his brain. But it wasn't just his hands. It was also hitting every nerve in his feet. So as it was shooting up, this pain that was so tremendously horrible, there was no pain medicine that could even ease the pain that I was feeling. And Jesus had nothing. He experienced not just that, but he experienced everything. Everything. And so here, when he goes and he now gives this man an order, just like he told me, he said, my musicianship, I'm a musician, will not be taken away. I held on to those words. The doctor said, there's no way I could move my hand. They said there was no way I would ever use my hand again. It was completely destroyed. My hand was basically paralyzed like this. I could not move it up or down. It was like this. But I did not heed to the words of the doctors. Instead, I heeded to the words of the Lord. Just like with this man here, he says, get up and walk. Now, he has a choice. And his choice is he could either obey what Jesus told him to do, or he could say, but I've been in this bed all this time. I can't get up and move. I have that same choice. No way. You know, I could receive what Jesus said. I would not take away your musicianship, which means I'd be able to move my hands. Or I could say, forget it. Just face the fact. This is the way I'm going to be the rest of my life. I chose to obey. I chose to listen. I chose to heed on to the words that the Lord had spoken to me. Just like this man here, where when Jesus said, get up and walk, he chose to obey. As we see in verse 6, it says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, get up now, take up your mat and go home. And the man got up and he went home. See, when the Lord tells us to do something, we need to take action. When the Lord tells us to do something, we need to obey. Because obedience, taking action means obeying. Obeying, we need to take action. Action is following the obedience. There's a story about a young man by the name of Tim. And Tim was a non-believer. But his uncle believed in Christ. Now, one day, his uncle had invited him to go to church. And he was really touched at church. And he thought, I think I'm beginning to kind of understand a little bit about what all this religious stuff is about, but not real sure. And then he left. He went back into his old way of running around with his old friends. And the next week, his uncle asked him if he would go to church with him again. And Tim stopped to kind of think, because they were driving. They were getting ready to go to a lake called Bonnie Lake because they wanted to go fishing. I mean, Bonnie Lake was known as a place where you can catch great big fish. And they wanted to go catch this wonderful great big fish. And so they were really excited about going fishing. And as his uncle was talking and asking him to go to church with him the next Sunday, Tim stops and he goes, you know, Uncle Al, I really don't want to hurt your feelings, but, well, I'm not really sure if I want to get into all that religious stuff. And besides that, he says, Mom and Dad don't think it's a good idea either. And of course, Uncle Al was very surprised. He was very shocked. He goes, but I thought you said that your parents said it was okay to go and that they were for you to going. See, he was making excuses. And then he stopped and he said, well, that was last week. This week it's different. You know, I've had a chance to kind of think a little bit. And I don't think I'm really ready for all that gospel stuff yet. I'm not sure if I really want to, you know, follow in this religious stuff yet. And so his uncle kind of stopped and they just kept driving and kept driving and driving and driving. And they passed the sign, the turnoff of where they were supposed to go. And as they passed the sign, things were very quiet. And all of a sudden, his uncle popped up and said, oh no, I missed my turn. And of course, Tim said, well, we have to turn around. And his uncle keeps driving and says, well, I don't think I want to turn around yet. I mean, the scenery is really nice. And he's looking all around. It's really very pretty. But Tim goes, but if we don't turn around, then we're going to miss out on the fishing. It's going to get to be too late. And then his Uncle Al went and looked at him and said, Tim, this is what I'm telling you. This is a message I've been trying to get across to you, because you know what? We keep going and following our own directions. You know, eventually it's going to be too late. And it'll be too late for where you will not be able to reach your gold, which the gold would be to heaven. And so, of course, his uncle did turn around and they drove. And Tim did, of course, end up saying, now I understand, Uncle, what it is that you're talking about. See, this man, paralytic, the first thing he had to do is he had to acknowledge that there was a Savior, that there was a Jesus who could come and to take away his sins. And when our sins are removed, he was restored and he was healed. The second thing is he had to receive that forgiveness, to know that this Jesus had totally removed our sins. And what happens is when he removes our sins, it's like we're set free. We have a freedom. It's a joy that rises up inside of us. And then we have to receive our healing of whatever it might be, which is that freedom within us. And then finally, we walk in obedience. We do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And when we do that, it's like the joy of his love just totally consumes us so much that when we are going through the storms in our life, he will take us, he will change us. Our eyes are opened up and we can actually see what is going on. Like, I can see, I know what is going on in Taiwan. I also know what's going on in mainland China when I've been down there. I can see how the enemy forces like to come in and try to stop people from receiving the blessing that Christ has for us. But that's what happens. That's the privilege that we have when we walk in Jesus, because he speaks to us. He talks to us because of his loving kindness. When Jesus tells us to do something, that might be a little strange. It's like today, as they were doing the music, you know, they decided to do something a little bit different, you know. And it's because they were using the scripture where Jesus says, you know, I want you to worship me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your body, with everything inside of you. You know, he wants us to be like King David, to be able to jump and to leap and to be totally free. And that's why Jesus came, was to set us free so we can have freedom. Now, how does this respond to our leadership? People are watching us. You know, we don't have to stand in front of a pulpit. We don't have to be a president of some company. We don't have to be a leader of some kind of a group. But we are a leader because people are watching us. They're watching the way we talk. They're watching the way we walk. When we are going through storms, they are watching us. And it's through those storms, through those times that we go through, people will be attracted to you. And we ask, why do we have to go through these? We might not have the answer. Eventually you'll get the answer. Like, I didn't know why I had to go through what I went through with my hand. But I knew that God was in control. Many, many years ago, when I was 18 years old, and that was a long time ago, okay, I was in a very, very bad car accident. In this car accident, I had broken my leg, my right leg, in three different places. One place was in the ankle. They had to do surgery and they put screws in the ankle. The doctor said I would never be able to walk again, that I would be in a wheelchair for life. Also within this accident, my jaws were crushed into many, many pieces. They were not just broken, they were crushed into many pieces. My tongue was cut completely in half. I had lost my eyesight. I could only see fuzz, and that was it, nothing else. I only recognized people by their voices. I also had lost my memory, where I could only remember how to spell simple words. No, I couldn't remember how to spell simple words like and the. through the power of the Holy Spirit. During this time when my leg was up in the air, I could not talk because my jaws were wired shut. I had perfect peace inside of me. I knew somehow. I didn't know how, but I knew somehow God was going to turn this for His glory. Except there was one day where all of a sudden the curtains began to blow in the hospital room very strongly. And I heard the howl of the wind. And it reminded me of when I was a little tiny girl. I was in a tornado in Kansas. And in this tornado, we were at the worst place possible. We were sitting right next to a window. You never sit next to a window in a tornado. Okay, it's a very strong, strong, powerful wind. And I saw it pick up. We lived on the farm, and I saw it pick up three of our chicken houses. I was very glad there were no chickens in the chicken house. Okay. And then I saw it pick up our barn. And the thing was different between our our garage, because our garage was not attached to our house. And it literally picked up the whole garage, and it sent it into our next door neighbor's yard. Now, our next door neighbor got a free garage, but, you know, we lost our chicken houses, and I saw the chicken houses just literally being torn, just ripped to pieces. And that's what came into my memory as I heard this wind flapping, so howling and so strong. I had flowers that was sitting on the windsill, and it was so strong it picked up the flowers and blew the flowers, the vases, to my bed, and they fell down and they broke. I began to panic because, you see, my eyes were no longer focused on Jesus. My eyes now were focused on me. Help, help. So what I did was on the man. I picked up the button and I started punching the button, you know, for help, help. And the nurse came across and said, "Yes, what can I do for you?" And I go, I couldn't talk. My mouth was wired shut. My tongue is sewed up. I couldn't talk. And so I couldn't answer. So I punched the button again. "Yes, what can I do for you? Come help me," you know. But still, nothing. You know, I'm going to say, "Help, help, help." But I couldn't say, "Help, help, help." I punched the button again. Finally, she got tired of me punching the button and came to see what it was. And she saw the mess that the flowers had made on the floor. And they closed the window and they cleaned it up. And instantly, all of a sudden, I realized what I just did. I took my mind off of the Lord. And when I took my mind off of the Lord, I lost that peace that He had given to me. I cried out to God. I said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me. I am so sorry that I started trusting man instead of trusting You." And I swore after that time I would never do that again, that my eyes would stay upon Him. Now, I'll just bet anything, this paralytic, when he picked up his mat and he left, he will never forget the healing that Jesus did for him. Like, I will never forget the healing that Jesus did for me during that moment when I couldn't move because I was tied down in that bed. I only had one person I could go to, and that was Jesus. And when I cried out to Him, He came and He heard my prayer. As you can see today, I can dance before the Lord. You haven't seen me dance, but I do dance before the Lord. I can hop, I can jump, I can keep up with the young kids. You know, try me out someday. I'll show you. I can keep up with you. You know, I can see I have no problems talking. I fit the perfect description of Peter, you know, in the story of Peter who would so excited, so zealous for the Word of God that he would talk for hours and hours and hours to the people. And the one person, as he was sitting on the windowsill, he got very sleepy and he fell out the window and died. What did Peter do? I'm not Peter, I'm sorry, Paul. What did Paul do? He just went down there and he just laid his hands on him and says, get up. He came alive. Well, that's my attitude. Hey, you're sick? Let's pray. You know? If you're dead, now I've never prayed anybody alive before, but I have prayed a bird alive, okay, and I've prayed a fish alive, but not a person yet. But don't worry, if you die, we'll pray you back to life, you know. So anyway, that's a side note. The point is that when our eyes are upon Jesus, you know, that He restores. I have the same eyesight that I had when I was in high school. They said, I play the French horn, and they said I could never play my horn, my French horn again. Well, I play my French horn, and sometimes people give me money to play. Right. So, as far as my memory had been restored, plus, where today I write books. I write Bible books. And so, God has taken everything where the enemy went to destroy. He has turned it for His glory. For His glory. And the first time I went down is Pinal Mission. And during this time at Pinal Mission, there had never been a person get saved. And the person that was running Pinal Mission was very, very discouraged. And so they invited me to come to speak at the Pinal Mission. And so I sang a song, and then I shared this little testimony that I just shared with you. There was three people that got saved. And it was amazing. Because the next week we went down there and we didn't even recognize them. See, when Jesus comes into our life, He makes a change. Just like from the very beginning, where we have to decide, are we going to hop in that boat and follow after Jesus? This means no matter what's going to happen, there's a crossover. Something's going to happen in our life. And that's what happened with these people. Something happened in their life, and that something was receiving Jesus, where Jesus came in and cleaned them all up. They no longer had a desire to drink. They no longer had a desire to serve the world. You know, like this little boy by the name, or the Tim, the story I told you, he had a desire to only stay with his friends until he realized that it could be too late. We could be going to church. We could be knowing about Jesus. But if we've never, ever totally received Him and saying, Jesus, come into my life. Take over my life completely and receive that forgiveness, you know, so we could be made whole. So we could have that restoration. If you've never done that, today is a day. Today is that hour of deliverance, just like this here boy by the name of Tim, where he finally said, okay, I surrender all. There's a true story about an athlete who he was preparing. He was an Olympic diver. And he kept practicing and practicing and practicing. And one day he decided, okay, I'm going to practice at nighttime. Well, the lights were all off. He went to this swimming pool area. And he climbed up on the high dive. And he couldn't see what was down below. But he trusted that this is the swimming pool. There's plenty of water down there. Although he couldn't, there was the moon. The moon was very bright and shiny. So he was able to see enough. So he climbed up and he went and took at the end of the diving board. He stretched out his arms. Now he had a friend that had been telling him about Jesus. But he kept saying, no, no, no. That he wasn't interested. I can do my own thing. Because he was an atheist. He kind of put himself as a god. And as he stretched out his hands, he turned around. And right there on the wall was a shadow. And it was the shadow of the cross. Then he remembered what his friend had been saying. He remembered what his friend said about Jesus and what happened to Jesus. He remembered that his friend had told him about the